Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Detroit from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello, and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 909-265-9215. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Mother's Day. Mother's Day is one of the most celebrated holidays on the planet. It will be observed on Sunday, 5/12/2019. What do we know about this popular holiday? Mom or mother, everybody has one. You know, That woman who carries you for 9 months, gave birth to you, nurtured and cared for you, fed you, cleaned you, changed your diapers, rocked you to sleep at night, gave you kisses and hugs. Why not have a special day to honor her and all mothers? Mother's Day is a moment in time recognizing anybody's mother, a special day to honor anyone who took the time to care for a child, anybody's child. Some might argue that out of 365 days in a year, you only honor the woman who carried you in her womb for 9 months and risked her life giving birth to you on one day? Some may argue, why wait 364 days to honor your mother? There is no time like the present, and there is no guarantee that we will all be here every second week in May. Whatever the train of thought may be, many mothers anticipate being a part of the yearly scheduled Mother's Day celebration. Many people anticipate honoring mothers all over the world. Shouldn't you honor your mother every day? For those of faith or not, honoring mothers and fathers appear to be very important to the God of the Hebrews and Christians. Exodus 20:12 says, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Matthew 19:19. Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Ephesians 6:2. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. That sounded like that was a very important thing. At least at one time. It sounds like it's still important now, but that's some heavy stuff right there. So what do we, especially us who celebrate Mother's Day, know about this holiday? So I went to Yahweh's House Ministries for some information. They had a question. Should we celebrate Mother's and Father's Day? But tonight, we're focusing on Mother's Day. They said Mother's Day dates back to the ancient Greek and Rome culture. It has pagan roots. When people partake in customs and traditions that did not originate in the Creator, then they are partaking in false worship, which is an abomination. That means you getting on the wrong side of God. He don't like that. He hates that. And a sin against the Father Creator. They say in both cultures, Greek and Rome, mother goddesses, the Queen of Heaven, were worshipped during the springtime with religious festivals. That's not unusual. They had a lot of springtime festivals in a lot of those cultures back then. The ancient Greeks paid tribute to the powerful goddess Rhea, the wife of Cronos, known as the mother of the gods, the queen of heaven. Similarly, evidence of a three-day Roman festival in mid-March called Hallera, and to honor the Roman goddess Magna Mater, a great mother, dates back to 250 BCE, before the Common Era, we just call it BC. As pagan Christianity spread through Europe, these brothers are saying, the celebration of the Mother Assembly, Church, replaced the pagan tradition of honoring mythological goddesses. That's very important to know, because this is an evolution here. the fourth Sunday of Lent, weeping for Tumaz, that's the son of Nimrod, right? Later known as Jesus or Jesus, they say, a 40-day fasting period before Estar, which became Easter, which is Easter, became known as the Mothering Sunday. These are the pagan roots that they're describing. To show appreciation for their mothers, they often brought gifts or a mothering cake. Jeremiah, they cite Jeremiah 7:18, and over time it began to coincide with the celebration of the Mother Assembly, right? Mother's Day always falls on the second Sunday of May, and like so many other holidays rooted in pagan sun worship, including Father's Day, which always falls on the third Sunday of June, that's Father's Day, usually fall on a day named in honor of the most, their most powerful pagan god, the sun. So they're talking to about sun worship here. Similarly, evidence of a 3-day Roman church in mid-March called Hilaria to honor the Roman goddess Magna Marta, a great mother, dates back to, as I said, 250 BEC. Excuse me. These kind of rituals on these pagan holidays are forbidden in the Torah, and yet millions continue to do them. He said you should check yourself if you're gonna, if you're so in love with the world that you go against the scriptures to enjoy a pagan holiday. He says he basically he values and cherishes his mother, and he lets her know that every day he sees her regularly, and I guess he does the daily thing, the honoring our mother and father. That means always, which is a good thing too. He says the fifth commandment commands you to honor your mother daily, not just once per year, which, you know, the fifth commandment says, honor thy mother and father that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. So if you're not doing it, if you're just doing it once a year, they're saying, then you're not doing it the other 364 days. That's just another way of looking at that. So, from provocative thought, not to throw a damper on anyone's parade, but this writer states that Mother's Day traditions are rooted in paganism. In fact, he says if you observe these holidays rooted in paganism, you anger the Creator. He also said it was a sin. Some might argue that the celebration has evolved and has become a completely different animal, not giving homage to the old gods, but simply honoring mothers. The fifth commandment does say, honor your mother and father. It's no coincidence that the Mother's Day celebration has the same characteristics as the old pagan celebrations. On Sunday, the most holy day in sun or bell worship, correlating or co-relating with ancient rituals and customs honoring the old pagan gods. Mother's Day's more contemporary founder, a lady by the name of Anna Jarvis, took issue with the commercialization of Mother's Day. This was written, I think, in 2014. It said, born of war, Mother's Day grew to horrify its own mother, whose fight to fix the holiday cost her everything, financially and physically, and apparently mentally. This is from National Geographic. Brian Handwerk wrote this article. Back in 2014, it was the 105th birthday celebration of this Mother's Day holiday. But the holiday has more somber roots, he said. It was formed for mourning women to remember fallen soldiers and work for peace. And when the holiday went commercial, its greatest champion, Anna Jarvis, gave everything to fight it, dying penniless and broken in a sanitarium. Sanitarium, that's a mental institution. So she went crazy trying to stop Mother's Day from becoming a commercialized holiday. That means that people earning money off of the Mother's Day celebration. And she's known as the person who started the Mother's Day tradition that we see today. It started in 1850s when West Virginia women organizer Ann Reeves Jarvis, that's her mother, held a Mother's Day work club to improve sanitary conditions and try to lower infant mortality. So there you have a mother having a Mother's Day by fighting disease and curbing milk contamination, according to the historian Catherine Antononi. The group also tended wounded soldiers from both sides during the U.S. Civil War from 1861 to 1865. In the post-war years, Jarvis and other women organized Mother's Friendship Day picnics and other events as pacifist strategy to unite former foes. Julia Ward Howe, for one, best known as the composer of the Battle Hymn of the Republic, issued a widely read Mother's Day proclamation in 1870, calling for women to take an active political role in promoting peace. That's good stuff right there, you know. Around the same time, Jarvis had initiated a Mother's Day Friendship Day for Union and Confederate loyalists across her state, trying to get everybody together. Let's stop fighting each other, right? That sounds good. But it was her daughter, Anna, who was most responsible for what we call Mother's Day today, and who would spend most of her life fighting what it had become. According to this guy, Anna Jarvis fought because people started commercializing Mother's Day. The 1905 death of her own mother inspired her to organize the first Mother's Day observation in 1908. On May 10th of that year, families gathered at events in Jarvis' hometown of Gaffney, West Virginia, at a church now renamed the International Mother's Day Shrine, as well as in Philadelphia, where Jarvis lived at the time, and in several other cities. They said U.S. President Woodrow Wilson officially set aside the second Sunday in May in 1914 for the holiday. That's a very interesting right there, of course, because just to the Hebrew brothers, they say that that's a pagan ritual, this whole thing about Sunday. They say for Jarvis, it was a day where you go home to spend time with your mother and thank her for all that she did. It wasn't to celebrate all mothers. It was to celebrate the best mothers you've ever known, your mother, as a son or a daughter. That's why Jarvis stressed the singular Mother's Day rather than the plural mothers. And it's different, M-O-T-H-E-R apostrophe S, rather than the plural M-O-T-H-E-R-S, then an apostrophe. Means, I guess that means any mother. So, Miss Jarvis' idea of a intimate Mother's Day quickly became a commercial gold mine centering on buying and giving of gifts, flowers, candies, and greeting cards, a development that deeply disturbed Jarvis. She set out dedicating herself, her sizable inheritance, to returning Mother's Day to its reverent roots. So she's basically saying that the Mother's Day celebrations should be a personal celebration between you and your mother, the mother that you're honoring, not a commercialized celebration. It shouldn't be a thing that has to do anything with buying and purchasing. It shouldn't be one of the most commercialized days of the year, like Christmas, Mother's Day, and then you got like Thanksgiving. Very commercialized days where people spend a lot of money basically because of the holiday. She didn't like that, you know, but, you know, we have for as many people are there are going to have those many ways of honoring mothers. And not everybody's going to do exactly what she does, and feel the same way about it, especially when you get into, you could buy your mom something pretty, some flowers, or, you know, because everybody's not spending a whole, it's not like it's, you buy your mom a car or anything like that. You buy your mom some flowers, you get her a card, tell her, and you do express how you feel about her. And these gestures are material things that speak to, I appreciate you, I know you're there, you validate me, and so forth like that. But this lady had a problem with that. So, she organized boycotts, threatened lawsuits, even attacked First Lady Eleanor Roosevelt for using Mother's Day to raise funds for charities. In 1923, she crashed the convention of in Philadelphia. And she said the American war mothers would still exist, use Mother's Day for fundraising and sold carnations every year. Anna resented that. So she crashed their 1925 convention in Philadelphia and was actually arrested for disturbing the peace. So this lady felt so strong about how people celebrated Mother's Day, but that she spent her fortune, and went crazy trying to change that, which is odd, and you know, because you really can't. People were doing a lot worse things than commercializing Mother's Day back then. You understand? You can see the. I understand what she's saying, why she wouldn't like it, but then that would be why she wouldn't commercialize it, the holiday, in her observation of Mother's Day. Anyway, it's kind of sad because Mother's Day is such a one of the you know, days that we people all over the world, you know, observe their mothers, and not that I feel that you should wait for one day to do that, but just say to people that do wait for one day to do that. I mean, she was totally against that, you know, that if you were, you know, turning into a commercial thing, just go there. I guess she just wants you to go talk to your mom, give her a hug, do stuff for her and things like that, which is good because I'm sure moms could use some help around the house somewhere, you know, but a lot of moms could use some money. And some moms like flowers, some moms like, you know, I know cake, and it's not necessarily everybody that's giving somebody a cake is giving a cake in relationship through the old practices of the gods. But, I mean, because we all eat cake, you know, so cake is not necessarily a Mother's Day self-celebration. Cake is just one of the foods that people eat. You know what I'm saying? So, but this lady, and you can see the insanity that she lost her mind and her fortune just trying to make people not commercialized Mother's Day, which is crazy because we live in the most, especially back then, one of the most commercialized countries on the planet. And it's what they did is how this country became what it is by commercializing everything, you know, creating fortunes off of commercialization, off of whatever, you know, farms, farming, land, real estate, anything, you know, songs, you know, music. Anything, people, that's what they did. That's how they made money in this country. So that's kind of like, you know, that's what kind of makes her fight kind of like crazy. So her attempts to reform Mother's Day continue until at least the early 1940s. In 1948, she died at 84 in Philadelphia's Marshall Square Sanitarium. I never heard of that, but I guess that's something pretty old because that's 1948. I never heard of that place. I'm going to look it up, as a matter of fact, just to see where that was at. So, she died penniless, as I stated before, in a sanitarium, you know. And, you know, that's kind of sad. You know, that at this day, which seems a harmless holiday, when people are taking their mom out to eat, you know, taking mom to see a play, taking their mom on a trip, sliding their mother some money, you know, doing whatever, going over whatever, you know, giving her a card, whatever, flowers and stuff like that. And you're not a bad person. Like the other brothers, they honor their mother every day. This guy say he does it every day. That's good too. You know, but he's saying that if you do this, you know, from a religious, biblical, Hebrew Christianity point of view, he's saying that this is against the Creator. So, you know, I don't know. I'm not a priest. I'm not an elder or anywhere or anything like that. Just throwing the information out there. You guys all know what you're doing. Know why you do what you do. So just this is just some, do your own research, and if you want to find out anything about Mother's Day. But, you know, to me, I don't know. Are we not supposed to honor our mothers? But I mean, the Bible says honor them. So if you pick a day to honor them, you know, he's saying that's against the God. And says Sunday is a day that we have. So it's the most worship day in bell worship. So should we avoid Sunday? I mean, we go to church on Sunday, which that's another subject. We're not going to get into that. But do we, is Sunday a bad day, you know, or is Sunday a day that was created through these pagan worships that would be related to the creation of the calendar and things like that? And we still have to use Sunday for something. So if we plan a holiday on Sunday, is it automatically connected to bell worship? Is it automatically become an abomination just because you did something on Sunday? Or Sunday okay? Because Sunday's, depending on which calendar you use, is the first day. And the Sabbath is the day of rest. Depending on how you're looking at it. So, I don't know. Anybody listening? What do you think about that, all of that? You know, is that too much of information for the holiday that you celebrate or that others celebrate and you don't for whatever reason? Or should that have an impact on whether or not somebody chooses to celebrate Mother's Day? You know, it's very interesting. Say, according to the National Retail Federation's, speaks to the commercialization of Mother's Day. Americans will spend an average of $162.94 on mom. This is 2014. In 2014, right down to from a survey high. That was down from a survey high of $168.94 in 2013. They say the total spending was expected to reach $19.9 billion. That's just for Mother's Day. So, sounds to me like need to invest in some Mother's Day, whatever it is that people caters to Mother's Day, because $19.9 billion, you could use some of that money. So, some entrepreneurs out there could use some of that. I guess Miss Jarvis is rolling over in her grave right about now, and I don't mean that in a jokey-joke way, but I guess she's pretty still upset about this, you know, if that was possible. But $19.9 billion is not going anywhere. This is America, and this is a place where everything is for sale. You know, that's the way it's done here. Everything comes to commercialize, you know. So whatever you can create to make money, people will create. And once you create it, somebody will start to market it. The U.S. National Restaurant Association reports that Mother's Day is the year's most popular holiday for dining out. I didn't know that, but I wouldn't know it. So that's interesting, too. So you got a restaurant. Mother's Day, the most important popular holiday for dining out. So it sounds like restaurants need to create and perpetuate another day for people to dine out, a holiday, to increase revenues. Now, not that Mother's Day is the only holiday, because this is saying it's the most popular. There were a couple of holidays that people dying out. It says, as far as being a Hallmark holiday, there's no denying it, they say. Hallmark Cards itself, which sold its first Mother's Day card in the early 1920s, reports that Mother's Day is the number three holiday card exchange in the United States behind Christmas and Valentine's Day. Say, hey, that song that Trudy had, a song, I'll Always Love My Mom, that's mom is number three behind Christmas and Valentine's Day. That's saying a lot. Another apparent affront to the memory of the mother of Mother's Day, they say. That's this Miss Jarvis, who went crazy and broke trying to get people to stop making money, which means people are purchasing things and giving them, I guess, for Mother's Day. I don't quite get the problem with that, because everything is for sale in this country. So if you're going to do something for your mother that's not, you're not doing with your own two hands, you're going to be buying something. You understand what I'm saying? And so if it's not a hug, or so just some time you're spending with your mom, you're going to be purchasing something for her. And that's a way that people express themselves, not just on Mother's Day. Somebody you like, you just like somebody, you might buy them something. You might buy them an item of clothing. You might take a person you like out to eat. You might take you and your homies, you might go out to eat. I got this, right? Bam, take them out, buy them something to eat. That's what things we do for people we care about. And I don't know, it sounds like Miss Jarvis just might have had an exaggerated ego. And because what she could have done was observe Mother's Day the way she felt on Mother's Day was observed, and she wouldn't have died penniless. I don't know if she would have lost her mind or not, but I don't think that this is a situation. I mean, she exists in a time period when it was, you know, not to take this show anywhere different, when they were lynching black people and, you know, just like it was a movie or something. You know what I mean? Like hundreds of people out there watching it, torturing and lynching them, man. You know, she lived in that time period. She lived in a time period where women weren't allowed to vote. I mean, there were worse things happening than the commercialization of Mother's Day, that this woman spent her fortune and failed to change that. She should know she couldn't have changed the minds of men. She, you know, my mom, you know, I don't understand it. You know, it's insane. It's insane, actually. So I can see how she did go crazy. Anyway, the holiday Anna Jarvis launched has spread around much of the world, they say, though it's celebrated with varying enthusiasm in various ways and on various days, though more often than not on the second Sunday in May. Which is, that's an interesting phenomenon. Why are these holidays on Sunday? And anything that's celebrated on Sunday, is it related to sun worship and bell worship and things like that? The Queen of Heaven, and as the Hebrews said, and I don't have the brothers on a show, so I can't delve too far into that. But it's a hell of a coincidence that the holidays appear on Sunday and have the relationship or co-relate to these pagan holidays, which says at least it deserves some investigation, which is why I even did this show. I was just curious. They said, much of the Arab world, Mother's Day is on March 21st, which happens to loosely coincide with the start of spring. So they're Muslims, right? In Panama, the day is celebrated on December 8th, when the Catholic Church honors perhaps the most famous of mothers, the Virgin Mary. In Thailand, mothers are honored on August 12th, the birthday of Queen Sekhet, who has reigned since 1956 and is considered by many to be a mother to all thighs. Britain's century-old Mothering Sunday, the fourth Sunday of the Christian period of Lent, began as a spring Sunday designated for people to visit their area's main cathedral or mother church rather than their local parish. Okay, so that's a little different right there. Mothering Sunday church travel led to family reunions, which in turn led to Britain's version of Mother's Day. So are the people transgressing with the Hebrew brothers are saying? What do we think? We trace mother of the celebration back to ancient Greek and Romans festivals of honoring the mother goddess Rhea and another goddess, Sibyl. So does it mean that, because it doesn't sound like this Miss Jarvis had the ancient Greek and Roman festivals in mind, because her idea of Mother's Day was distinctly about you and your mom, you and the woman who care for you. Because maybe all mothers don't necessarily have to be women who actually carried you for 9 months. We don't have those situation. We have different types of mothers. So I'm saying, like, you know, sounds like this lady's Mother's Day was about, you know, the relationship that you had with your mom, and pick a day, and she created a day and said, hey, buddy, if you don't do nothing for 364 days out of the year, this year, make sure you let your mom know you care about her. Maybe that's what Miss Jarvis was saying. And I guess she saw the commercialization of it as not making it as true to that as, you know, could get. But I mean, like, not everybody can go in the backyard and pick a flower. You know, not everybody, you know, I don't know. Choose to celebrate holidays the same way. You know, you can't create it. Like, even Christmas, people celebrate that differently. You know, and we said Rod Carew created Kwanzaa. That's around that same time. So not everybody did celebrate things the same way. And, you know, it's very tragic that the contemporary creator of Mother's Day spent her whole life fighting against what Mother's Day, the Mother's Day that we know Mother's Day as, you know, these contemporary times, present contemporary times, because she's back in the 1900s. I mean, 20-something, 30-something? It really wasn't that long ago. This is our time period. So she only died in 1940-something, so she's still back in our time period. But I'm saying it was a while ago, but not so long ago. I guess she's really not, you know, it wasn't a long time this lady was walking the planet. So Anna Jarvis, Mother's Day holiday arose as a result of her mother, right? And I mean, this is some heavy stuff, you know, because really her mom, you can say her mom was the mother of contemporary Mother's Day. Ann Reeves, Jarvis. You can say her mom did, because she did it with the soldiers and things like that, trying to get it, you know, after the Civil War, trying to get those guys back together. I guess they had a lot of bad blood between them. And I was trying to get them, and then trying to get, so that made, that put the mothers in a functional position. So these mothers were functionally important in terms of trying to heal the wounds of the nation. after gaining financial backing from a Philadelphia department store owner named John Wanamark, John Wanamaker. They're long gone now. In May 1908, she organized the first official Mother's Day celebration at the Methodist Church in Gaffney, West Virginia. So John Wanamaker, which is a popular retail store, was a popular, huge retail store here in Philadelphia, helped her, gave her some money so she can, you know, start her thing. So when you think about Mother's Day, you know, think about your mom. Try not to, because Anna Jarvis, you think about the contemporary creator, founder of Mother's Day. It's kind of sad because, you know, I don't connect Mother's Day with any kind of sad thing. I didn't until I did this research here, and wow, you know, it's kind of, it's sad, you know, that the person, the founder of today, what we call today's Mother's Day, just really wasn't about, would not be happy with what we were doing. If I try to take you to court, she spent a fortune. I guess she was a wealthy young lady or woman, and she spent lots of money trying to stop people from doing it, you know. But, you know, this is America where people do, you know, have you have many different cultures. You have an astronomical amount of subcultures, including families. For every family and individual, that everybody have a different way, an interpretation on about how they want to do something. Mother's Day is not an exception to that rule. People will honor their parents the way they see fit, even on Mother's Day. You know, they use that day to do something for their parent they see fit to do. And if it involves, you know, purchasing, spending money, taking them out to eat, I mean, I don't really get the problem with that myself. You know, moms like to eat, take it to her favorite restaurant, buy her favorite food, pamper a little bit. Okay, is that what you want to do? Nothing wrong with that, you know. You want to spend some time with her, some personal time with her, that's good too. You know what I'm saying? You want to give her a hug, talk with her, sit and spend a day with her, you know, tell her how much you appreciate her and things like that. Oh, but I would hope that those things will be going on throughout the year. That pampering her is not going to go on throughout the year. So that's what kind of makes that special. That is commercialized. We live in a commercialized nation. Let's face it. You can't do nothing here outside of the commercialization of anything, any move you make, you know, unless you just eat off of a tree. You know, everything that you do is going to be subject to commercialization. You, what you wear, what you eat, because if you just eat living off the trees, you need shoes, right? You need clothing. You need stuff to wash with. You know, you're gonna need something that somebody sells. And that's what I'm trying to say. And maybe this woman was just against the whole selling of America. You know, the fleecing of the country, that she took it personal with this holiday, which she is the considered to be the founder of. I'm not sure if she's the founder of Mother's Day or she's the founder of the Mother's. Sounds like she's the founder of the Mother's Day that we know today. Because it sounds like this practice has been around for a long time. It's at 250 BCE. You know, so very sad for Miss Jarvis. They said in Thailand, Mother's Day is always celebrated in August, right? The current, the birthday of their current queen, right? I guess she's like the mother of the country. Another alternate observance of Mother's Day can be found in Ethiopia, where females gather each fall to sing songs and eat a large feast as a part of a multi-day celebration honoring motherhood. I mean, and that's not commercialized, but I guess you got to buy food for the celebration. I guess they might buy outfits. I don't know. I mean, it's a large feast. I don't know if they hunt their food. I don't know if they go to the supermarket and get it. I guess, I mean, I don't know if Ms. Jarvis would have a problem with that. Not that that sounds close to what she was talking about. I mean, things evolve and they change, and people live in different environments, different cultures, and, you know, in the United States, Mother's Day continues to be celebrated by representing mothers and other women with gifts and flowers. And it has become one of the biggest holidays for consumer spending. We live in a capitalist society. Let's face it. People are going to spend, right, money. You know, it's your birthday, right? They're spending some money, right? Let's eat. Let's go have a party. Let's dress up. You know, you're having a baby, right? Somebody buys some cigars, right? How about just the price it costs to have a baby? You know what I'm saying? Like, the holidays, you know. We ain't going to mention Christmas because that day is a day where you spend money to buy gifts for people. Completely commercialized. But I don't hear anybody fighting it, losing a fortune or their mind, trying to stop people from celebrating Christmas or commercializing Christmas. But this lady did. I guess she took to being the founder of the holiday very seriously. And that kind of speaks to why she went mad. At times, Mother's Day has been a date for launching political or feminist causes. In 1968, Coretta Scott King, that's the wife of Martin Luther King, right? Civil rights leader, Reverend, all right? Used Mother's Day to host a march in support of underprivileged women and children. In the 1970s, women's groups also used the holiday as a time to highlight the need for equal rights and access to child care. So here we have Mother's Day being used as a political weapon. I don't know. Ms. Jarvis have a problem with that too? You know, because it started as Mother's Day started as an anti-war movement, right? Anti-war activists, including her mother, right, tried to, get the guys from the Civil War, which was I think that was the worst war the United States has ever had. Had the most casualties, and it was right here on U.S. soil. So they tried to heal the wounds from that. And that's a Mother's Day, a functional day. That's the mothers actually doing something. You know, so I don't know. It sounds like, you know, Ms. Jarvis might have been just a tad bit over the top. Because anytime you lose your fortune to try to change how people do something, you're really not dealing with reality. You know, in terms of the scriptures and the relationship between Sunday and Mother's Day, that's just something for each person to make do your own research and make your own decision on that, you know, about Sunday. Because if you make that decision about Mother's Day, you might be looking at making a decision about Sunday worship in church. But we're not going to go into any conversation about that because apparently Sunday is the most holy day in bell worship. But because it is, does that make Sunday some kind of evil day? Because I can't see that happening if the same creator created all the days, right? And Sunday is one of them. So why must Sunday have a relationship to paganism, when in the Bible it said the Creator made all the days. So all the days belong to the Creator of the day. So therefore, it may be a the most holy day in Baal worship, but it doesn't mean that you can't do anything on a Sunday, and you know, celebrate on a Sunday. It's not related to Baal worship just because you plan something on a Sunday. But to add to this, they say that this celebration has the same characteristics as these pagan rituals. It has a relationship, and it correlates to the practices of those pagan holidays, which deserves some looking into if you are about, you know, understanding of getting information and understanding, you know, things that you do. You might want to take a look at that. Right? They said that Jarvis simply didn't trust fundraisers and to deliver the money to the people it was supposed to help. So maybe, I don't know if she simply didn't trust the fundraisers, that she was against it, because if that was the case, then she's really not against commercialization. She's against people taking advantage, exploiting the holiday to earn money. It's a difference. Because you could raise fundraisers to deliver money to people, and she was okay with that. She's not here to speak for herself, but you know, this lady is saying that she just didn't trust the fundraiser. And I guess it was a lot of crooks, and there still are a lot of crooks in this country. So, you know, but she really doesn't control the holiday. You start something, you got to understand, like, you know, you make a car, people are going to drive it. Some people are going to drive it fast. Some people are going to drive it slow. Some people are going to use it to get to work. Some people are going to use it in robberies and kidnappings and things like that. You know, General Motors is not making a stink about all of that. You understand? So, you know, this lady I'm sure mothers are very thankful for Miss Jarvis, but, you know, I think she's a little overboard with the whole, you know, thing about, I'm not going to allow you to practice, corrupt my holiday. It's not, if it's Mother's Day, then the day is for her and her mother, not a day where for her to control people, you know. So, you know, you got to be aware of that when you create something, that other people are going to use it. You know, you make a record, people are going to sing your song, they're going to butcher the words, put their own words in there. You don't get mad at that, right? They're going to just do what they want to do with it. Same thing for Mother's Day. You have the holiday, however you celebrate it your way. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, in terms of if it's a pagan celebration or offshoot of a pagan celebration, you know, do research. Don't take my word for it. Do your own research. See what you think about it. If it may be in your mind, Mother's Day has evolved or has detached itself from the pagan religions of the worshiping the old gods. So maybe today, Mother's Day, you know, doesn't mean anything to people like that. Even if it is connected to pagan holidays, maybe people just don't see it that way. That's not why I'm doing it. I'm not doing it on a Sunday because it's bell worship. It's a tradition to do it on Sunday, and that's why we do it on Sunday. I don't even know about Bill or anything like that, these old guys. This is the day I'm doing something for my mom. It has nothing to do with a deity or anything like that. So maybe people look at it like that, and they keep it moving. Anyway, it's one of the most popular holidays, right? They say that Mother's Day spending in 2017 will top, they expected it to top $23 billion. That's a lot of money. Americans spend on an average This is 2017. 186.39 on moms this year. That's not a lot of money. I mean, depending on who you are, I'm not going to say that's not a lot of money. I'm not saying that. Because that's dead wrong. That to some people, that's not a lot of money. To some people, that might be a lot of money. But say on average, $186.39 on mom this year. But when you look at how many people do that, you get around to $23 billion, which is, makes Mother's Day a hell of a holiday to be in the business that touches on Mother's Day. That's the restaurant business, the card business. What else do they you get the card? Oh, flowers. So I'm thinking that if you sell flowers you around Mother's Day, you're making a killing. The restaurant business or any food business maybe would increase because some people like to cook meals and have family gatherings. So, you know, you can take mom out, you can cook her a meal. Right? So those businesses, you know, probably generate a whole lot of money. They say about 69% of Americans will send mom flowers and 36% plan to buy mom jewelry. Oh, there you go. So that's, you know, the jewelry business sees a boom. The National Restaurant Association, meanwhile, reports that Mother's Day, again, is the most popular holiday of the entire year to dine out. They say the most popular holiday of the year. And since Christmas is usually a family event and intimate situation, I can see that. With nearly half of Americans hitting a restaurant, that's going to a restaurant, not half of the Americans. So, you know, I don't want to mess up anybody's Mother's Day, but I guess Ms. Jarvis is rolling over in her grave because Mother's Day is one of the most lucrative holidays on the planet. There's a lot of money made on Mother's Day. After all, everybody has one or knows one. As always, it's your choice to celebrate or not to celebrate. It's your responsibility to know something about what you're doing. I want to thank you for you guys for listening in, and I hope I didn't put a damper on anybody's Mother's Day. I want to say Happy Mother's Day to everybody, all the mothers out there, and keep the peace, y'all. Until next week, remember, each one beats one. Each one beats one. Don't be afraid of the things you don't know.
You will not be able to stay home, brother.
Learn, baby, learn.
You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 District. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.